Can we go back through a few of the thoughts that we've had this morning in hymn 250 that we just sang? We were singing, "We as sons cry, Abba Father. His great love, excluding fear. What a debt of love we owe thee, love that we can never express." We're in a situation where we can approach God, and yet so many times we seem to see people approaching God in ways that make it look like we've got all rights and can do anything we want before God. We're the ones with power and that sort of thing. And yet we've got to remember that the only reason that we can approach a holy God is because of what our Lord and Saviour has done for us. And if we go to Psalm 2, "The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." And that's the nature of man. That's the sinful nature of man, to not want to have to do what I'm told to do, or not have to live the way that might be expected of me. And yet it's probably seen the best when you look at the kings of the earth, because you can see major things happening in the world. You can see how places like Zimbabwe, when the people or whatever country it is, they decide to take over their own country and have it for themselves. And we've seen terrible situations economically for those countries where they've taken what they felt was rightfully theirs. Now, I'm not making a political statement. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, what their rights are or whatever. But the nature of ourselves can be seen in that we would like to do things our own way. And yet if we leave the Lord out of it, we are not going to gain by it. And I'm talking to Christians as well, because we're saved, yes. We've got our salvation. That's those who have. I'm not assuming everybody's saved here. But those who have their salvation, they're saved. They've got their eternal salvation secure. No worries. But we've then got to live on for the Lord. Now, are we living on for the Lord, or are we living on for ourselves? And that's what I think we need to always look at. And I've got to look at it again and again. Because every step that we take is another decision. And are we making those, what might seem like tiny steps, in the assurance that that is what the Lord would have us do? If we turn to, I've forgotten the verse, Mark 12, where Mr. Law was speaking. One of the verses that struck me, and I've got to find it yet. We've got here a parable that speaks of how the prophets came and eventually the Lord sent his son. And verse 6, "Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also at last unto them, saying, They will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, This is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours." They worked out a plan of how they could be rich, and yet they left God out of the situation. or when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the men leave God out of the situation. And even if we're dealing with different individuals, I mean, let's face it, not everybody gets on with everybody else. And I'm not talking about anybody here, this is completely apart from that, but not everybody clicks with other people, as you might say it in the vernacular. And it happens at different times that because of that bad communication that people don't get on all that well, and there's problems. And sometimes it comes into the hearts of the people to make life a little bit harder for those people. And you just wonder, where is our heart? Where is our heart? Is it to honour the Lord? Is it that we're offended by this person and so we try to lift ourselves up a little bit? If we get into that situation, the Lord won't honour it. And we won't be the better off, no matter what it may seem. There's another verse here in 1 John, chapter 2, and when I find it, I'll let you know. I can't see it, but somebody can tell me about the gifts of God coming down from the Father of lights. Oh, sorry, it's James. It's James. No wonder I couldn't see it there. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. God is perfect. There's no shadow of turning. God's way, God's will for us is perfect. And yet we're not perfect. So we need to be before the Lord constantly saying, Lord, is this the step you want me to take? Even if it comes to the fact of, when should I go shopping? I mean, this might seem very trivial, but the Lord knows our path. The Lord knows when an accident might occur. He can keep us from that if we're in His will. I've got no doubt about it. And the Lord can guide us. But if we're not before the Lord praying, asking for His will, for today, for now, we should just be ever conscious. And thank the Lord, despite the fact that we're not, and probably can't be, always conscious of, well, is this particular thing what the Lord wants me to do now? He spares us and is very good to us and keeps us despite our weaknesses. I mentioned a few weeks ago about light. And we read here that all these good things come down from the Father of lights, and we've got no idea. We think about the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, and others can probably expand on that thought far better than I. But we have no idea how holy our God is. We have no idea the wonders of our God. And yet I mentioned before that we can see in the rainbow a panorama of colours. And I had a look in an encyclopedia just to wonder about light a little bit more. And some would say that in a rainbow you see six colours, some say seven colours. But apparently when light is split up, the naked eye can see something in the order of 600 different colours. And when we look through the scriptures, we read of the Lamb of God, we read of the rock, we read of so many descriptions of our God, which just let us take in a little bit, understand something in the terms that we can see of a lamb. And we know that there were sacrifices in the Old Testament, and we've all seen lambs, Who would want to see a lamb slaughtered? And yet, our Saviour was perfect. He wasn't physically a lamb, but it gives us an insight. He was killed for us. He was slaughtered for us. What a wonder. And there are so many other of those little pictures of the rock. How solid is our Saviour? How solid is God? There's no variableness in God. We can have a good day and we can have a bad day, physically or emotionally or however it may be. But our God is secure, and if we rest in Him, He is our strength. Another thought about light is when you set up lights. Now, I haven't done this myself experimentally, but I believe that it is so, that if you set up, I've got to remember the colours, the red, blue and green, I think it is. If you set those three lights shining into the one spot, those lights will come back close to white. And that sort of is a reminder of when something comes from God, things get better, get brighter. But when you come to a situation where you're mixing paints or you've got dyes in clothing or something like that, the only reason that this shirt appears to be white is because it reflects everything that makes it white. It doesn't absorb too many colours. With my pants, they're a lot darker. They're absorbing the light. They're detracting from the light. They're taking away from what pure light is. And they're reflecting back to you the blue colour you see, or the dark colour that you see. And if we got paints together, I think they usually start with a white paint and then they add some colouring into it. But each colour that they add to it makes it darker. And if they were to add enough, they would go to black. And that's probably a reflection of what the situation is if we're outside of the will of God. If we're doing something that the Lord wants us to do, it will be for good. No matter what the circumstances seem, no matter how it would look to us, it might seem ridiculous, some of the things that are done. Why on earth John the Baptist would walk around in the sort of clothing that he wore and eat locusts and honey, it seems ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go out and eat locusts and wild honey, but if the Lord shows us something that we ought to be doing, we should be doing it, and the Lord will reward us, even if it seems ridiculous. I mean, it's probably wise to speak to people if you're thinking of something major, because emotions do take some people away with them, it would seem. But the Lord is able to keep with these things. So, are we living in the light? God is light. We read of our Lord Jesus Christ being referred to as light. I am the light of the world. Are we living in that light day by day? Are we walking in it? Or experientially, are we just walking our own way and doing what we feel like doing, what is easiest for us? I trust that as we read our Bibles every day, and I trust you all are, and maybe more often than that, I trust that we may be shown of the Lord the way we should go. And I'm not saying that you aren't. I don't know you all that well, and I don't know that I know myself that well, but the Lord knows, and we trust that He's guiding. And if we can't trust in that, you can be absolutely sure you can't trust in anything in the world.